This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Hey, sports fans, Christmas is come and gone, and the Super Bowl is quickly approaching. We've seen what our teams are capable of this year, and now it's time to get those last bets in before the big Super Bowl. Will the Ravens be able to get it done? Will Brady and the Patriots get themselves another ring? I bet you have a feeling. Head over to mybookie.ag and make your predictions a reality. MyBookie is one of the most trusted in the industry. If you're looking for a sportsbook to make your bets for the bowl games, MyBookie is where you want to go. Football not your thing? No worries. MyBookie's got it all. From NBA to NHL to Premier League, they have the fastest payouts, best promotions, and very helpful 24/7 customer service. You can even pool your bets together for bigger payouts. Let's say you have a couple big favorites this week. Parlay those wagers. You can bet multiple games together, and if they come through, you win big. MyBookie has more lines, better odds for the player than any other sports book out there. If you join now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000, which means if you deposit $200, you'll get an extra $100 in free play money for free. All you have to do is use the promo code THPN to activate the offer. Once again, that promo code is THPN to get extra cash from MyBookie. Bet, win, get paid.
Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
Well, that was horrendous. Very frustrating Saturday night. But at least we got to see a goalie fight. Good evening and welcome to Flames Unfiltered. Episode 37, recording on Sunday, February 2nd, 2020. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube. And although we got a very disappointing loss last night, we had a real good show planned ahead today. Lots and lots of good stuff. Well, the Battle of Alberta is definitely back. And no one will convince me that there is any other rivalry in the National Hockey League bigger than the Flames-Oilers. I think it's by far the biggest one right now. On the bright side, the Oilers cannot catch us in head-to-head points this year. That's a bonus, even though we got completely killed last night. You know, I got to beef quick. Why the hell is Jeff Ward juggling the lines so much every time we get down? We get down in a game, and we panic. And we start shuffling lines, and I don't know, how does this sit with the players? Yes, I know there were some penalties, so that juggles the lines, and it gets a bit, you know, cumbersome and ridiculous with that. But if these are the lines you're putting out to start a game because you believe they're the best lines, you give up on them after just a little bit of adversity? And you think there's some magic potion on other lines, like we haven't tried every single combination that you could possibly have this year? I'm sick of that. I'm also sick of it. It's Saturday night, Battle of Alberta, and there's passengers on the Flames team. There's guys that weren't going. Right, Lucic? Right? Your dirty looks from the bench and your dirty looks when you're on the ice doesn't help us win. On the bright side, on Wednesday night, I love the stick flip from Riddick. It shows passion. It shows heart. Plus, it pissed the Oilers off. Isn't that what we want to do? I don't know. I think the hockey gods might have got us back for that one last night. But I guess so be it. On this episode, we're going to recap Battle of Alberta Round 4. And if that's not enough, then we're going to talk to John Bowden, Kyle Brandt from the Oil Country Podcast as they join us to talk about this crazy thing called the Battle of Alberta. Then we'll talk some Flames news, Harvey's Doghouse, fan question, and then we'll wrap it up with a quick preview of Tuesday night's matchup as the San Jose Sharks come to town.
Every team, everywhere, the Hockey Podcast Network.
Hey, the Hockey Podcast Network, excited to announce a new podcast. Been out for a little while, so it's not totally new, but check it out. It's called Ice Analytics, It's a deep dive into hockey analytics and statistical analysis and how they relate to both the sport on and off the ice. They talk tradings, trades, signings, gambling, attendance, and basic sports analytics. If you're a numbers guy with hockey, this is the podcast for you. Check it out on the Hockey Podcast Network. All right, Flames fans, I wish we could just fast forward through Saturday night, but we can't. But you know, actually, there was a lot of good things to talk about. There really was. As bad as the final result was, the 8-3 loss at home, which even stings a little bit more, you know, there's still some entertaining things. Even if, I don't know, I want us to win every single night and I get mad when we don't, but there was a lot of points in this game where even when we were losing, I was like, this is pretty good stuff. Game got off to a bad start. Riddick and Smith were in net for both teams. Yamamoto takes advantage of a horrible play from Hanifin. It's 1-0, 29 seconds in. That's something that Calgary's been doing this year to Edmonton, and we got bit in our ass with it on the other going the other way last night. Cassian scores on a nice pass from Archibald. 2-0. We're a minute into the game. What happened? Then, good story in this last week. Buddy Robinson gets his first goal as a Flame, first since 2016, on a great pass from his childhood friend, Johnny Gaudreau. But you know what? This was the biggest part of this play, was Robinson fighting off that check and then burying it after he fights off the check. It's 2-1. That was at the 12:42 mark. McDavid makes it 3-1 at the 15:33 mark, a power play goal on a play that I'm going to point a finger at Noah Hanifin on this one. Loses the battle in the corner on a soft play, and then he goes out front of that and makes even a softer stab at the puck to the best player in the league, like that's going to work. And all of a sudden, we're down 3-1. Robinson fights Jujhar Khaira. Okay, fight. I'm not sure where that one fit into the game last night, but I'll never turn down a fight. I thought Sam Bennett was really, really flying in the first period. Looked very good. This guy frustrates me because there's so many nights I'm like, God, this guy's the hardest worker, and he plays the best of any Flame in a big game, and then still nothing comes of it. I don't understand that. I don't know if I ever will. Second period starts. McDavid scores his second of the night on a quick rush. It's 4-1. Riddick is pulled. Not too long after that, just over a minute, Matthew Tkachuk gets his 17th goal of the year on a pass from Mangiapane, and it's a softie by Smith, and I loved every minute of it. There was a point in the first period, too, I forgot, where Smith was out dinking around playing the puck and almost created a goal for the Flames. Boy, would I love to see that go in. So, Flames are 4-2. Well, there's hope, right? There's hope. Benning falls down. Ryan gets a breakaway. Smith comes up with a big save. Huge turning point of the game there. Lindholm, at the 10:14 mark, pulls the Flames within one. And I'm like, man, we got a whole new game. He banks it off Smith as he's sprawling on his stomach, and I'm thinking, the Battle of Alberta, we got a good one here. And then everything falls apart. Talbot made some big, big saves after coming in from Riddick, but Ryan Nugent-Hopkins scores after Draisaitl picks Shillington's pocket, and it's 5-3. Shillington had a rough, rough goal last night. Oh, I'll tell you the guys I thought were good and the guys I thought were bad. Edmonton pretty much seals the deal for good when Jones fires a knuckle puck by Talbot at 6-3, and then all hell breaks loose. Gagne goes for the puck underneath Talbot, kind of spears at Talbot. Talbot gets up, starts punching him. Gagne and Gio go at it. Tkachuk gets in there. Bear grabs him, and then Bear and Tkachuk go at it. And then Talbot and Smith meet at center ice, and we got a goalie fight, the first time that's ever happened in the Battle of Alberta. And with 24 seconds left, the referee said to hell with it, sent everybody to the locker rooms. And wow. It was funny. Twitter just absolutely exploded. It was off the charts how big Twitter was blazing. I was pretty pumped at this point. I thought, all right, well, if we're not going to win, we might as well fight them. Which sounds so barbaric and old school. And I'm an old school guy, but I'm not like that. But at this moment, I was just so frustrated with the way the team was that we needed something. We come back to play 24 seconds. Riddick and Koskinen have to come into the game because the Smith-Talbot fight was deemed a secondary fight, which is automatic ejection. So Riddick, who got yanked in the second, has to come back in, which is odd but funny. Riddick got chirped so hard, too, when he got pulled and went off the bench. Oh, my God, he got chirped hard. But you know, he had that coming. But you know what? I'll never go back on that stick flip. Riddick plays with emotion, and emotion wins you games. And maybe some more guys on the Flames should care as much as their goalie David Riddick does. Later on in the third, at the 13-16, Mark Stamgagne gets his third goal of the year. He's turned into an Oiler I just can't stand. I don't know why. Took a run on Wednesday night at, I think it was Anderson. And I don't know. He's just one of the guys I'm not a fan of right now. But his slap shot over the glove hand of Riddick was a beauty. 7-3. Then later on, Tkachuk hauls Haas down. They go into the boards. Tkachuk knocks him down. Haas knocks Tkachuk down. Tkachuk jumps up and punches him in the face. And they kind of have a little mini fight. Penalty shot goes to Haas. Scores, it's 8-3. Then things started getting chippy and rough and a lot of talking. Chiasson gets sent off early. Anderson gets sent off early. Finally, this game ends 8-3 final. 49 shots to 25. That is a problem. That is a big, big problem. I'm going to complain about a few guys. I thought Hanifin was god-awful. I thought Shillington was god-awful. And Milan Lucic pissed me off bigger than I've ever been pissed off by a Flames player. Almost as much, I shouldn't say ever, almost as much as I was pissed off as Johnny Gaudreau in the playoffs last year. Milan Lucic has come on this team to be an enforcer, to be a guy that lays the body. And I'm not saying he had to go out and fight the Oilers, but damn it, he needed to hit somebody and he didn't do it. He spent the whole night flashing dirty looks, and that's all we got from Lucic. That's a hell of a lot of money to pay for dirty looks. Pisses me off. This team needs to figure out what they're going to do with him. But he does not deserve to be playing if he's not going to go out there and work his ass off and try to create chances by being physical. He was not physical at all, and it was damn embarrassing.
Inside Edge Hockey News, Faking the Slapper and Going Top Shelf.
It is time for our round four of the Battle of Alberta Roundtable. Talking with John Boughton, Kyle Brandt from the Oil Country Podcast.
We finally get to chirp you a little bit and have some bragging rights.
Well, this is our fourth round table.
Canada's game.
You're due. It's our fourth round table.
It is. And we both have two blowouts now and two close games that the Flames both won. But I'd argue that the season series is a little closer than the outcome on either side.
Yeah.
Suggest.
For sure. I think.
But I mean, we got to get right into it. Like, that instance in the second period with the line brawl leading to a goalie fight.
We're jumping right to that, huh, John?
I think we have to, right? Like, that's what the listeners want to hear about, I think.
I'm good. And they'll turn us off after they hear that part.
Or maybe we should egg them on a little bit. Tease them a little bit.
I was surprised. I was. I didn't. I don't know. I thought maybe we'd. I don't know. I was not anticipating a big brawl like that. I wasn't. Were you guys? Like, honestly?
Not at that point in time, right? It kind of just happened. It was kind of bad, that dive-in chop that Gagne did on the glove of Talbot, right? I didn't think it was...
John doesn't think so.
I didn't.
Well, yeah. I didn't think it was like a...
round table just for everybody earlier today where Kyle was at work, so it was just Brad and I from either of our podcasts, and then in addition to the Canucks, Elijah and Jordy from the Kings podcast. So we're going to reference that a little bit. We should probably get that out of the way. You guys can find that on the Hockey Podcast Network Patreon. I believe it's just like $1 a month you need to donate. Is that correct,
guys? Yep, $1 a month, and you'll be able to get all the exclusive different roundtables we do on the Hockey Podcast Network. And, yeah, John and I and a couple of the Vancouver and L.A. guy did it this morning. We had a lot of fun, a lot of good Pacific Division talk, and, of course, there was quite a bit of Flames and Oilers talk, so definitely check that out.
Yeah, and ripping on the Canucks a little bit.
Too. We did. We threw shots at them.
And any money that comes through Patreon as well is also shared evenly between all the podcast hosts. It doesn't go to our greedy corporate overlord. Sorry. So,
Dylan.
Just kidding, guys. But yeah, if you want to support the podcasters just themselves, then you can go on to Patreon as well. You get the reward of extra podcasts. But yeah, getting into the fight there, like, I really don't think that Gagne came in, like, attempting to injure Talbot, obviously, right? He just was taking a slash at the glove. But
I agree. But yeah,
that blew up so fast, man. There was two skaters on top of Talbot, on top of Gagne, as well as Talbot.
Yeah,
just throwing fucking blockers. I mean, as soon as Talbot started going out of the net, like, that was, of course, going to blow the fuck up. There's no way.
Well, I knew Smith wasn't going to stay still because Smith's a nut.
He was waiting for it.
He's all about that. I mean, he did it in Calgary, he did it in Arizona, and he's all about that, and that's fine. I kind of like that part of him.
I was surprised that was Smith's first goalie fight. Like, last one was 2013, and there haven't really been any.
He had a fight
recently. Well, he said in the interview that was his first one, I think.
God, yeah. I could have sworn.
So I think he's probably fought players.
He punched Lucic last year, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. It was also the first goalie fight at the Battle of Alberta ever.
I can't believe that.
Which was insane
shocking
to hear. Like, that is just shocking, yeah.
You look at how messy that rivalry got through the 80s, the different goalies got the teams had. Like, you would think Fear would have been in on one. I mean, I'm sure there was chippiness and fighting players or swinging at players or whatever, but yeah, not a goalie-on-goalie scrap. But getting back to the Gagne thing, I mean, this is one of the things that Brad alluded to that I said on the roundtable, but, like, I kind of get it from both sides. Like, Gagne went in there so close to the whistle where, like, he was already committed by the time the whistle went. And I don't think, you know, like, I think he saw the puck is, I think, what happened. And I don't blame Talbot for being pissed off, though, either, where, you know, he's laying on his back and he gets a stick from the side, in which he called a spear. I mean,
I don't think he was spearing at Talbot. He was spearing for the puck, but the puck was under Talbot. So, how the hell do they not call a penalty on that? Explain that one, though.
Well,
like, seriously?
You know, like, let's hypothetically say that nothing of the aftermath of that happened. It just ended right there.
Yeah.
I see plays like that happen a ton.
Not that blatant of a jab, though.
I mean, is he really, like, it all depends. Like, if it was after the whistle and it was blatant like that, but I still, like, I revert back to my main point. Like, I think Gagne saw the puck.
And maybe he did, but I'm going to throw something else out there, though. If that was Zach Kassian jabbing in there like that, I guarantee he gets a two-minute penalty. Guarantee he does. If that's Matthew Tkachuk jabbing in at Smith, guarantee he gets a penalty.
I mean, I think they should, but I feel like just off, you know, like my recent recollection, maybe not quite to that degree, but there's a lot of times you see as the whistle's going, guys go in and tap their sticks, whether it's on top of the goalie's hand when he's covering it up, his glove hand, or in between his legs or whatever, and I feel like that very rarely gets called, like, unless there's actually body contact on a goalie.
I actually don't mind the skaters standing up for their goalie either in that situation, right? Like, Lucic just did it a month and a half ago, 2 months ago for your team, right, against Winnipeg, where they tried to slash it.
That was Columbus, right? Yeah. They came in. Columbus. Yeah, but that one was even less of a jab
than
the Gagne one. And I'm not trying to overblow last night's one at all, just because it resulted in a huge fight. But one thing I was really surprised in that whole thing was, were you guys surprised that Darnell Nurse didn't grab somebody?
Yes.
I was, like, shocked.
He was actually directing traffic.
Yeah, he was yelling at Talbot.
It was so funny. You do see the photos of that afterwards. His team is standing like a fucking like crossing guard, just pointing straight out. You know, like,
and the most impact Nurse had on that was when Gagne was going after Giordano, he was kind of holding Gio.
Yeah.
And that was really the only
he did. He kind of held him for a second.
But... Mangiapane was with Chase on and Talbot before Talbot went out to center ice.
Yep.
Bear was on Tkachuk, Gagne and Giordano, and then Nurse, and there would have been another player on the ice, I believe. Wasn't all that involved, just kind of extras.
It escalated very fast, and I was like, I don't know. I was shocked. I was shocked that it went.
Well, what do you think would happen if they played their last 24 seconds right after that? Do you think the next line is just full line roll right there?
I think both teams put their skill guys out right away to make sure that doesn't happen, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I don't think coaches are, unless it would have been Edmonton has the first one out.
Wait a second, John.
Goons out, so would have Calgary.
All our skill guys are the guys that are fighting you guys.
Oh, no, I mean the Monads. I mean, just don't put
You put Gaudreau out there and you'd put, you know, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, put Gaudreau and Yamamoto and let them fight next.
I
want to see still. That's the only thing from this Battle of Alberta I'm still itching to see.
What if, let's go back, what if Tortorella was still coaching? What if Tortorella was one of the coaches, and what if Mike Keenan or McTavish? Yeah, we would have had a full out brawl for sure.
I would like. What's your stupid mascot dog's name?
Harvey.
Yeah, I'd like to see that tongue rip.
You're calling. Sure. Okay, wait a second here. I'm not defending mascots. What am I doing? We can't talk. We can't argue mascots.
No, sorry.
I was going to defend you.
Our mascot's dumb as shit, too, and has nothing to do with Oilers. What does the dog have to do with fire, what does the bobcat have to do with Oilers? Like, none of them are anything. But I mean, on that flip side, what does Gritty have to do with the Flyer? Like, none of them really make sense.
They're dumb. All of them are dumb. So, I had a question.
They are, but, yeah.
So, how did the Riddick stick flip really bother you guys?
Not me personally, but I love how the team got fired up. Yeah.
I also how fucking Smith flipped his stick when he went to go fight Talbot. Thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
It was something that I regret not talking about in the episode after that with Kyle, where we kind of just, it was such a good game, like that Wednesday night game,
yep,
that we kind of just glazed over the overtime and the shootout,
mm-hmm,
because I felt like it was an anticlimactic ending, and we both kind of just bitched about it ending in a shootout in general.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that.
I mean, I don't know, Brad, did you see the Oilers post-game interviews at all? I watched a couple of the Flames.
Last night? I saw Draisaitl. Draisaitl's still butthurt about the stick flip.
He is, but did you also see Smith where he started like, hey, I don't want to make headlines.
Yeah, you know,
I used to play with Riddick, and then he ends with, but what goes around comes around. And it's like, oh, shit, like you literally just downplayed that, and then you sent fighting words out right
you
at
know,
the end.
The thing is, like, I loved it in the fact that, you know, everybody in hockey bitches because guys don't show emotions and show, you know, everybody's like, oh, I love P.K. Subban because he says it like it is and he's, you know, flamboyant or whatever. And then when a guy like Riddick does it, then people bitch about it. So I'm like, I'm confused.
I don't mind that he did it. Like, actually, I don't at all.
I thought it was funny as hell.
The hockey gods came through and just
they did. I said it earlier on in my podcast today. I said that I love it. I'm all for it. But the hockey gods did get us on it, too. Mm-hmm. And that happens.
And honestly, like, trying to use my reasonable brain here, that the stick flip thing is 100% bias, right? Oh. I don't have an issue with the Oilers taking exception to it.
Nope.
They use that to fire up their team. But on the flip side, like, you look at the Bautista bat flip way back. That's considered disrespectful. But anyone in Canada cheering for the Blue Jays, that's one of the best moments in sports in the last 20 years.
Yep.
If you're a Texans fan, you probably fucking hate Jose Bautista over that. And it's the same thing where it's like, if the roles are reversed and Koskinen or Smith did that after winning a shootout, every Oilers fan would be like, oh, yeah, like look how fired up our goalie is for that win. Like, hell yeah. You know, you're on the other side of it, and you're like, well, that's disrespectful. That fired us up, right?
Yeah. So, you know, one thing last night that came up that I thought, right before the goalie fight, I said to myself, I'm like, oh, shit, don't go fight him because I don't want Smith to get tossed. Because, but not like we had a chance. It was the score was. I'm not stupid. The score was too far away to come back at that point. But I don't know.
Like 4-2 at that point.
No, it was 5-2, wasn't it? Was it 4-2? I can look at my notes here. It was.
Sorry, I don't remember.
No, it was 6-3. It was 6-3.
Okay, so there was 6-3. That was the big brawl.
I'm like, okay. But my first thought was, oh, they're going to get tossed for sure because it's a secondary fight. And then I'm like, crap, I don't want Koskinen in because Koskinen's better than Smith. Because I've watched Smith so much that I know that he's good for some really, really freaking beach ballers. And I was just praying that we had a chance, you know, if he was in it, we could get some, you know, some stupid thing or we could get a couple goals or whatever. But as soon as Koskinen came in, I'm like, oh, crap. And not that I think
I like the
great,
irony,
but.
And you're more concerned about Smith getting the upgrade on the Oilers side compared to Riddick, who had already been pulled in that game, and you're not even slightly concerned about Riddick coming back in. It's all about, oh, it's Koskinen.
I wasn't, because I knew Riddick would come back in just fucking pissed. Because I know...
He still let a couple softies in. That fucking shot over his shoulder was pretty brutal. He should have had that.
Yeah.
I
don't think it mattered at that point. And I hate to say it, but I agree.
But
yeah, it is like I would have been. I just found it funny. Like, and if I try to put myself in your shoes, I would have been more like, shit, we're putting a goalie back in that's probably pissed off. His confidence is low.
Yeah, his head shaking,
and now he's getting thrown to the wolves in a 6-3 game.
So who did you think I was?
A secondary fight.
Yeah.
But I always thought ejections with fighting. Like, because this is kind of an atypical event, right? So off the top of my head, I always thought it was ejections from fighting when it was, like, the third man into a fight, right?
Mm-mm, not anymore. That rule changed a couple years ago.
So now they have it. So if someone's fighting already and then two other players start fighting in a
separate
fight, that second fight is gone.
They're gone.
I think that's stupid.
They're trying to
cut down on line brawls.
Yep. Those guys are gone.
And I mean, I don't mean to get on a big NHL rant because we seem to always do that, or I do that anyways on every podcast. But I feel like it's such garbage. Like, did you guys see the documentary Ice Guardians that came out?
I've seen it four or five years ago.
Yeah. When they're comparing the stats of actual like concussions and head trauma that happens with fights and injuries in general, like it's like 90% hand injuries. So they make a rule that you have to keep your helmets on, increasing hand injuries, and now. That brawl was not only SportsCenter news. I saw that fight on the front page of Reddit, not even in the sports section or anything. It was like the fifth thing down. So like it made world news. Like non-hockey fans are watching that brawl. You go to the NHL highlights on YouTube, none of it's even in there. You could watch that whole highlight and you'd have no idea there was a line brawl and a goalie fight and all that stuff. And it's like. I get it that it's like, because I know the NHL is being sued right now.
They're protecting themselves. But
they are, but it's like, I just find it so stupid. Like, I mean, the legality side of it, I get it, but
hey, let's
promote your game, man. Like, that's exciting. Everybody wants to see that, other than like the 2% of people that are like, fighting's bad.
If, you know, here's the deal, though. You know, if the NHL, and I'm not saying they're not worried about concussions, I don't mean to say that, but if they truly were really worried about concussions, they wouldn't have changed the rules back after the lockout and sped the game up so much. Where do you think people are getting hurt? Why do you think guys in NASCAR were getting killed? Because the cars kept going freaking faster and faster and faster, and they were hitting the wall and dying. Well, in hockey, we change any interferences. We sped the game up tremendously after the lockout. And then we wonder, well, why the hell are so many guys getting hurt? Well, I don't know, probably because they're 10 miles an hour faster coming across center ice, getting drilled. Or defensemen, well, the top defenseman can't hold up the guy a little bit, and the defenseman on the boards is getting freaking run through the backboards. That's why we got concussions happening.
Yeah.
Not really that many concussions are coming off of two guys punching each other in the face, believe it or not.
I would say it's like the number one injury from hockey fights has got to be hand injuries from hitting helmets. And then after that is probably facial fractures and cuts and stuff like that. It's probably like, I think concussions are probably the least likely.
Unless somebody hits their head on the ice.
That actually happens.
Going down or something. But
exactly. Yeah. Like you hit your head when you're going down.
I hate to say it though, but if like the NHL market it like, you know, I don't want it to be like this, but, why do you think people watch the freaking UFC fights?
Because it's violent as hell.
Yeah, and people love that. So why do you think we were front page on everything sports or non-sports related today? Because people love drama and people love physical violence.
Yeah, that's like this. What happened last night is the epitome of sports rivalry.
Mm-hmm. And that's why it was front page.
Emotions boiling over. Yeah. Exactly. And like, no, I'm with you. Like, I get the whole legality thing of them getting sued, but it's like you're never going to get rid of fighting. You might as well embrace it as part of your game. And I, you know, as much as I get the legality, I don't get their marketing around it. Like,
hey, I just want to roll back for a second, but still talking about fighting there. You guys talked about earlier with the second pair of people coming in, how they get ejected. Is that why Smith and Talbot were then thrown out? Because,
yes.
Okay. Yeah, because goalies can still fight like the first time, and they're good. Yeah. They have a player serve, right? Okay.
Yeah. Huh,
crazy. That's new this year?
That's what
a couple years ago. Two, 3 years ago.
Okay.
Secondary fight. I got two more things I gotta ask you guys, because I know you guys probably want to rip me on these, but I actually made a list, you guys.
Just a little bit. Doing prep.
No, there's just a couple things. It's like, all right, I gotta make sure I get their opinion on this one. Tkachuk answering the bell. You gain a little respect or not gain? Okay, good. I knew Kyle. Yes. I knew you would, and I know John. You would. All right. Okay. I don't need to hash over that fight.
I still hate him. I think he's
I want you to.
The rat fuck, but yeah.
No, but I mean, you guys have to admit that you guys got everything you wanted that night.
Yeah.
I was happy he answered the bell. I was happy he even fought Bear. Like, I was happy with
that. That was a good fight, too. Yeah. That kind of got overshadowed.
They both went back and forth. That was a great fight.
That was a really good fight.
It did get overshadowed.
Got overshadowed.
Right.
Yeah. It kind of went off camera for the majority.
Smith and Talbot just stealing the thunder.
Yeah, and that wasn't a good fight.
Dude, that was, like, I found it really funny. Sorry, sticking with the goalie fights there before you move on to the next thing there, Brad. I found it so hilarious that Smith, in his interview, said that he saw Talbot throwing blockers and didn't like it. And I'm like, Smith probably thrown blockers at a guy, like, 50 times in his career.
Oh,
like the hypocrisy there. And, like, obviously I'm stoked. And that being said, I mean, I think Kyle would agree with me. Like, I'm also a fan of Talbot, right? Like, I obviously hope he does.
I have
really
no
with
ill
you guys.
Towards him.
Yeah. No.
I always liked Cam, so I'm glad he was okay. I mean, I'm glad he got his ass kicked because he's a flame, but I'm also glad there wasn't any injuries. And honestly, good on Smith. Like,
we're not jacking him at the end there.
He had a shot to light him up when he was on the ice, and he didn't.
So. You know what, though? I got to credit Cam Talbot, and I just did on Mike Smith, too, because he could have lit him up at the end, and he didn't. But, you know, as Cam Talbot skating down there, the only thing I could think of was, oh, God, here comes an ass kicking.
That's what I was thinking, too.
And Cam Talbot had to know that, too, though, right? Because Smith is a big boy.
He probably knew. Yeah.
So he's like,
he went in there to stand up for himself.
Yeah.
Like, fucking respect to the guy. Like, going in there knowing you're going against Smith.
So I've got a question for you guys about that. So Smith, he made it very clear on the broadcast when all of the shit was going down. Smith went to center ice quite early.
Yes.
Stopped right before the red line to not get the penalty. Leaned on a stick and was chatting at the Oilers bench. And he obviously had said, like, he was just getting a better view at the action, right?
Yeah.
But everybody knows, like, he's not going to come out and say it. Everyone knows he's challenging Talbot there. That's the ultimate goalie code.
Yep.
So with goalie fights, if Talbot, for lack of a better term, doesn't answer that bell, do you think he gets criticized there?
Oh, for sure.
The majority of the fans saying, you know what, he's a goalie, he has no obligation.
Oilers fans would have crucified him. You guys would have been all over him, calling him every name in the book if he wouldn't have went and fought. Guaranteed.
If he wouldn't have left his crease after defending his crease, because I really don't have an issue with goaltenders, like, even though throwing blockers are dangerous, obviously, I really don't have a problem with them defending their crease. That is their area, and they can have their physical violence for that. As soon as he went behind and started chasing around players, then, yeah, you're going to go fucking answer the bell to Smith. If you don't, then you're a pussy. Like, if you're going to ever go run around a player.
But did you guys ever wonder when he went behind the net after whoever he was going after?
Jeez, honestly.
Weren't you guys wondering, like, why isn't Smith coming all the way down?
The penalty to cross center ice as a goalie.
Does it matter at that point?
I mean, not really, but on the flip side, I think Smith is still looking where it's like they don't want to blow this lead. I think that's more of just a veteran move, right? Where it's like, it doesn't matter at that point. Maybe,
and again, he also had Nurse fucking yelling for him down there, telling Talbot to get out the center ice too. So
yeah, like that's because it's at the end of the day, like if Smith went all the way down and just dropped, like, forced Talbot to drop the gloves, I think Smith would have got criticized for that too, mm-hmm. right? So I think both goalies at the end of the day handled that, like, about as well as...
I think everything kind of went as good as it could go.
Yeah, like, no injuries, luckily. It was a mm-hmm. wild, like, minute. If Kyle, did you see Jack or listen to Jack Michael's call on 630 Ched?
I haven't. I have it actually like bookmarked on my Reddit feed.
I retweeted it on Twitter, I believe, or commented on it. Anyways, check that out. I think SPR on Twitter, one of the Oilers guys, tweeted it out. So if anyone hasn't listened to that, it like genuinely gave me chills just knowing what happened and him walking through and getting so excited.
Oh, that call
was awesome.
So one other question: Giordano hit on McDavid. Where do you guys stand? Did I open up a can of worms here, or is this just going to go over
smoothly? I you're probably going to disagree with me. I don't think it was blatantly dirty. I thought it was a chicken shit fucking move, though. Like, at the end of the day, he knows he's beat.
Well,
he has two choices. He can turn around and skate his bag off.
Yep.
Or he can
stick his ass
try and interfere with the best player in the world.
Yep.
Fastest player in the world, anyways, mm-hmm. for sure. And instead of, like, I would have rather had him tackle McDavid. Like, it's a safer play. Take the penalty if you're already interfering with him.
I don't think he was already.
I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot of Flames fans saying, oh, he hits him with the shoulder first.
No, he didn't.
I've seen screenshots of that knee.
It was
shin connecting with McDavid.
But
it was his leg and hip coming out.
It was his hip, though, too.
Yeah.
It was his hip, though, too.
Yeah,
I also thought it was bullshit after the McDavid documentary comes out.
Oh, don't.
He's on there. No, you got to, like, that's a factor. It literally came out the weekend before, and I know it was recorded way before, but Giordano's saying how bad he feels, and it's always scary when you might injure a player like that.
I believe that.
And all that bullshit, and I gained respect for Gio going on there.
But
and then the next game that happened,
but,
and I'm like, man,
but John,
I lost all respect.
You know what, though? Like, I believe what Giordano's saying, and here's why. When you're in the heat of a moment and you're beat, you're doing whatever. You stick your ass out. Like, whether it was McDavid or whoever's coming at him, like, it's you're going on reaction there.
Yeah.
It's instincts at that point. It's not, you're not thinking, oh, I got to get my rear end out here. It's like, boom, McDavid's mm-hmm. like that fast. It's like instinctual.
John, I gotta be honest. I agree with Brad. Like, I do think that should have been a 2-minute interference.
Absolutely, penalty. Absolutely. Yeah.
But I don't think that it was intentional. You know, I do think that the puck got chipped down the boards, and he seen what happened, and knew he was beat,
and made
a stupid reactionary play to it.
Yep.
But I really don't think that there was ill intent there. I really do not think that. But yeah, should have been given a penalty.
Absolutely.
I understand McDavid getting upset, is considering it's to the same knee that it. Happened to have rehab, sorry, for the fucking entire offseason, right? So, I don't know. I think that's it. Like, it should have just been nothing.
I'm not saying that Gio deserves, like, a 10-game suspension.
No, I don't
like,
even know.
I would have been fine with the interference penalty. And I understand it's reactionary, but at the end of the day, whether it's reactionary or not, sticking your leg out at someone blowing by you is a shitty play. So, that's where I'm at, right? I'm not saying that Gio is, like, a fucking hideously dirty player and he should be suspended for half the season or anything like that. And I don't even think it was necessarily intentional. It's just hard to...
It sucks when it's your best player.
Yeah.
It is, and it's hard
if that was Chiasson going up the corner, you guys wouldn't even be talking about it.
No, I would have been sure. That should have been an interference penalty.
And too, John, with the way that McDavid plays, like, that is not the only time that's going to happen in his career.
Oh, no.
That'll
happen again this year. He's that quick, you guys.
That's the issue. He's too fast, and defensemen can't turn around, pivot, and keep up to him, man. It's a reactionary thing. Like, that's literally your brain just making a snap reaction.
Maybe it's me being more mad at the reffing in the league for not enforcing that, right? Because the only thing that's going to actually, like, reduce the chance of that happening is calling those penalties.
And I don't even think that will do it.
I do think if he had more time to react, like, I agree with you guys, it was a bang-bang play. If he had more time to react and he still did that, I do think he should have got suspended.
But I am with
you on that. It was a bang-bang play. Like, I'm not saying the guy should.
That, I mean, look at how McDavid on Wednesday night's game, look at how he split Hanifin and Hamonic in a fraction of a second. He was through both those guys, and neither one of them freaking knew what even happened.
Mm-hmm.
Early on in the game was it Wednesday night? I'm losing track of days here.
Yeah, Wednesday, yeah.
You know, I mean, McDavid's that fast. We talked about it earlier this morning. You know, when he gets the puck, no matter what team you're playing, every fan and player is like, oh, shit, right? At the same time, as soon as he gains speed coming through the neutral zone, it's scary as hell. There's no other player in the league that does that like he does. And
I think we're grooming a McDavid fan.
No, know. I'm not. I'm just speaking the truth, though. Because, yeah. And you know what? There's going to be – he's going to get hit. He's going to get knees. He's going to get slashes because that is all that defensemen can do to contain him.
Yeah, but it comes back to what we've talked about too, John, with what Brad's saying, right? Those just need to be called as penalties when they happen, mm-hmm. and then there's no argument. That's it. Like, if a player wants to turn around and fucking, you know, water ski off of McDavid like Subban, then there should be a hooking penalty for it. That's it. They want to slash hand. That's it. Penalty. Trip him. Penalty. But, like, when it doesn't happen, it's frustrating as fuck. Yeah.
It is, and it's the same thing like when the league really started cracking down on slashing penalties after Johnny's wrist got absolutely fucking mangled, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not, you know, like, I don't want McDavid to have preferential treatment, but it's like, it's almost on the flip side right now, where, like, just so much shit goes uncalled against him.
Yeah, I know it's preferential treatment here, for the defenders because he's too good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, it's really what it is. I know I probably sound like a whiny, bitchy Oilers fan, too.
I'll make sure the listeners tweet you on that.
Yeah, feel free. The number one Lucic fan can tweet him too. Jesus.
I think that's great. I love it.
Another 2 hours of my life on Twitter.
I'm actually going to promote it on my podcast next time.
How is a game that physical and that rough and that much fighting and Lucic walks away with no penalty minutes?
Okay. That was,
I know you're frustrated. I'm not even trying to dig at you because, I mean, I honestly feel bad for Lucic.
I don't.
But that's the exact reason you were brought in.
You know,
like,
I'm not.
What are you doing?
I'm not mad he didn't fight, but he's worthless in every aspect out there now. I mean, we brought him in for all he did the whole last two games is flash dirty looks. That's all he's done. Seriously, he was not a physical presence. He's not an offensive presence. He sucks defensively, and he's not physical. And that's all we brought him in. Well. Plus, we wanted to get rid of Neil. We brought him in, and the only thing we asked of him was to just be a physical presence. And he's not even close to that. He's not even close to that. It's so frustrating.
Flames fans are figuring it out, eh, John?
Yeah, like slowly. They're getting it.
You guys are starting to figure Neil out, though, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the last 2 months, we've kind of known that he's obviously not a 5-on-5 guy. Like, he produces on the power play, and that's about what he is. Like,
he's both got limited
third liner that's really good on the power.
We both have bad signings that are limited resources, and all we ask is that they do what we ask of them. And Lucic is not doing that right now, and it's very, very frustrating.
And it's one thing like you said, like the production's not there, but it's not even that he's not scoring or not getting assists, like. And he did this in Edmonton, too. The play just dies on a stick, right? Like, he's not even a guy. Like, you look at Cassian or Archibald and, like, yeah, are those guys superstars? Like, no way. But when they're not scoring, they're still cycling hard and moving the puck and, like, having a positive impact on the game without scoring.
Lucic's
issue with Lucic is, like, he's not capable of doing that because his hands are so stony.
He can't even keep with the play because he's too slow.
He's
lumbers
physical,
along.
He looks like
he's not fighting. He's not making an impact. He's not intimidating. He's doing nothing positive for you whatsoever.
He's that guy at seniors men's that just goes and eats a shit ton of wings and drinks a bunch of beer before your men's league game and just can't even keep up with men's league. He lumbers so bad and he looks like he's so freaking slow that it's just painful and frustrating to watch. And he's had maybe two games this year where I'm like, all right, Lucic has done his job. And one of them was when he freaking KO'd the guy from Columbus and took the suspension. I was like, all right, people are going to think twice about spearing at our goalie. Freaking Lucic will knock him on their ass. I was totally good at that. But he didn't do anything. The whole Battle of Alberta, he's done nothing.
No, he had one game where I think he rubbed out Caleb Jones like 3 or 4 times on the forecheck. And it's like, okay, so you're literally picking the rookie to rub out.
Michael Backlund.
You're not mixing it up with any of the actual, like, tougher guys and sending a message.
Michael Backlund was more physical last night than Lucic.
Yeah, Lucic was non-existent. Like, it was, and it's one of those things for you guys that it's like, if he doesn't become that physical monster in the playoffs.
Oh, he won't.
I don't know what you're going to do with him.
We're going to set him, you know, is what we're going to do.
Like, someone had a really good point in Lucic's last year at Edmonton, where the way Lucic plays when he's effective, when now that he's getting to that age, it's practically impossible to do that for 82 games, right? But
I'd be happy
on a playoff
with
run, 40. You expect that game in and game out because that's when you've got to sacrifice. But with the way he's been so inconsistent for you guys, and no, sorry, not even inconsistent, he's been consistently not doing that, and it's an outlier when he actually is physical and actually is a force.
Yep.
That, yeah, like if he doesn't turn that around and get fired up for the playoffs, I honestly, like, you can't buy him out.
Nope.
Seattle's not going to take him in
any
fucking way.
They can't. He's got no move.
Like, well, even he if you leaves, like, if you're not going to, like, you'd have to attach a first round pick to that guy.
I would.
Get Seattle. Oh, I'm sure you would, but I don't even know if Seattle takes it.
No.
So, like, you guys are, you can't buy him out. Like, no. And I'm not, you know, obviously wishing this because
he has to be like LTIR also, retired, basically.
Well, exactly. I don't want anything to happen to his health, but like that's literally your only hope is that he LTIR retires.
Yeah.
And you at least get some cap relief year over year. Like that's all. Like
didn't you guys honor his no movement clause when he came over to Calgary? Yeah. Like you didn't have to, but you did.
No, there's no choice on that. That's in his contract.
No, but when he waived it to go to Edmonton.
Yeah.
Yes, but you don't waive it for the next group, though. You acquire his contract as it is, though. He waived it to go to Calgary.
The movement clause is once he waives it. The
once it's waived, it's already it's gone for the removal of the contract.
So I don't, but for all we, like, in Calgary's defense.
Why would they do
for
that?
For all we know, the only way Lucic agreed to waive it is if they would honor it. But I remember when that trade happened, there was a lot of talk of why did the Flames honor that no movement clause.
For sure.
So, I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure, Brad, they have a choice.
It was a bad choice, then.
Yeah. Like, and like I said, maybe it was something like that where the only way Lucic would waive is if Calgary agreed to honor it. So it was like that or nothing. Obviously, at that point, I mean, most Flames fans would probably say, well, we should have said no deal then. But
well, we should have said no deal from the beginning because – I think Neil would have been easier to move to some poor sucker than Lucic. I mean, now Lucic is...
Well, we as Oilers fans were totally shocked when it happened, right? Like, we couldn't believe that you guys actually sent Neil to us. Although, like, we still retained a bit of Lucic's...
Well, we're going to get a draft pick, too.
Really didn't matter, right? Like, to me, when I seen it happen, I was more like, why the fuck didn't they just buy him out and then use that $3 million that they'll save off his contract to then spend that on, you know, your bottom six winger that you need there?
Yeah.
It kind of made no sense to me to then trade for Lucic's contract and just be stuck with that money instead.
Yeah, no, it was not a good deal.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not even trying to be an asshole, but
we're not trying to rip on. Like, it actually just doesn't make sense. Yeah, sorry.
It was, and not so much you, Brad, because I know you haven't been a big Lucic supporter right from the get-go. You haven't been impressed, but especially on like Twitter and Reddit, it was wild to me seeing all the Flames fans rationalize that in their own head. This is what Lucic does, and it's like you finally see, like after last night, the Saturday night game. You finally see the masses being like, what the fuck do we have here? Like,
I think
what is this guy?
A lot of fans were like, well, we're stuck with him. We better talk ourselves into believing that it's actually working.
And to be fair, I did the same thing last year. So
I mean, I think you do that as a fan, you know, just for sanity reasons. But after you watch for so long, I mean, you can only hide from that shittiness for so long. And last night was just the night where it just all culminated. And it's not because he didn't go fight. It's just the fact that he's just ineffective in every aspect. And, I mean, I would have loved to see him take a two-minute interference call and catch Gagne coming across the middle and just, even if he didn't have the puck, just hit him and send a message or something. He should do something. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, even remember last...
I don't want that to happen, but, yeah, I mean, like, if you're looking from an unbiased perspective, like, I'd rather you do something, even if it's like immediately negative to your team. When you're down 3 goals or down 4 goals, at least try and fire the guys up.
Yeah.
Like do something to have an impact.
I mean, if you remember too, the last time that we talked, you, Brad, were like adamant hoping for Lucic to do like exactly that, show up, because we were talking about why does Tkachuk even need to answer the bell, right? Mm-hmm. Like he did his job before in that, the second game of the series, right? So, yeah, like you would think that Lucic would come out there and stand up for his now teammates against his former teammates, but still make Cassian question fighting Tkachuk or whatever the situation at hand would be. Yeah. But yeah, totally disappears, man. It's the exact same situation that happened in Edmonton and towards the end of Los Angeles. He did the same thing with Los Angeles that he's doing with Edmonton now. Fucking give them like a dirty look at all, man. It was pathetic.
I think Lucic believes that he's still the Lucic of 8 years ago. I honestly do, you guys. I believe that in his mind, he thinks that he's a Lucic of 8 years ago and that it's all good. I believe that.
I'm gonna go the other way, Brad. I think this is obviously kind of an assumption and a bit of speculation, but I have this theory in his last year or 2 years in Edmonton, you could tell that was a very unconfident and frustrated player. And to think, like, nobody here is going to convince me or anywhere else is going to convince me that the amount of money Lucic makes doesn't wear on him. Like, you can tell that, like, he's a player that doesn't believe in himself, in my opinion. Like, I don't think he still thinks he's that physical monster. I think he's old. He's lost a step. His hands have completely gone to shit. Because that was the unique thing about him, right? Like,
yeah.
You get big players like that are boulders all over. But Lucic with Boston and with LA and arguably the first year in Edmonton actually had hands to finish.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was the unique combination he had where now, like, I think he's just so down on himself. And, like, I don't think he believes in himself at all. And that's part of, like, as a human, it makes me feel bad for him. As on the other side, I mean, he's making $6 million a year, so I can't feel that bad for him.
I mean, too, the locker room doesn't believe in him, so how can you believe in yourself, too, right? Like, not that they should have any reason to, but he's in a dark place, really, right? Like, I'm sure he's probably seen a sports psychologist about what he's going through. And I know his wife is a personal trainer and stuff. And
he can retire.
I wouldn't be surprised to see him honestly retire.
Yeah. But why would he throw that money off the table? I think it would be an LTIR. Like that comes off the cap, but he keeps the money.
Yeah, but what are you gonna make up an injury?
Probably it hasn't happened before in the NHL.
Yeah.
And he has that like that back injury or like that back condition, like he could for sure find a doctor to say, like, yeah, you shouldn't play hockey with that. In my opinion. I mean, in my unprofessional opinion.
I don't know. That'll be an interesting one to see how that plays out over the next couple of years, but unfortunately, I'm probably going to be talking about it 24 months from now.
Yeah, we'll see. It's one of those things. So getting back to the game in general, away from the Lucic talk, because that was depressing. They were talking after the game, and I think it was Spector, the Sportsnet analyst, the main guy for the Oilers, was talking about walking into that locker room, and some of the players alluded to it as well, and how fired up the Oilers were, obviously, right? We're like, you don't see locker rooms like that just from a win. Like, that was an emotional, inspired shit slamming, for lack of a better term. And so you look at that, like, I think from an Oilers perspective, that's something that could start a roll. On the other side, though, is it gut check time for the Flames? Like, they're right in it as far as the Pacific Division.
Oh, it's going to go.
But that's got to be kind of a gut check time. And also could be, if they interpret it the right way,
could be a positive
inspiration. Like, that could be a slap in the ass that they need.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it could go both ways. I mean, I honestly, I believe that Calgary could win 5 in a row or lose 5 in a row. I believe Edmonton could win 5 more in a row and lose 5 in a row. This whole Pacific is so up in the air, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think we talked about it, you know, earlier today. There's literally 5 teams that could win this division. I'd say Vancouver's the front runner just because of this recent run that they're on. But I tell you what, I from Arizona to Vegas to Edmonton to Calgary, I mean, any one of us four could win this. We all could fall out of this thing too. But definitely, I think the momentum in the and what Edmonton took from last night is probably more likely to act as a positive than Calgary's loss turns into a positive.
Yeah. I mean, that's, like I said, it's inspiring, right? I mean, you not trying to rub salt in the wound, but just being objective, like, it was domination, right? Like, they were winning the fights, they were winning the physical battles. Like, look at how fierce Edmonton's forecheck was and their skating, And then you add on the score to that. I mean, is there a single category that you can say that, like, Calgary won the you know, did they win any, like,
come on, John, I wasn't this hard on you after we pounded
you.
No, I
mean, I'm not even trying to be an asshole. I do believe on the other side that it's like, and like Edmonton's been dominated like that before. I know it stings because it's the Battle of Alberta, but that is something that can also, like, I wouldn't be surprised to see Calgary go on a tear after this because they're going to be pissed off.
Well, we're going to need to because then we got San Jose on Tuesday, which scares the hell out of me because we have a great tendency this year to lose to teams below us in the standings. And then we have Nashville, who's a team that's in desperation mode. And then we go to Vancouver next Saturday night, and that's as big of a rivalry as Edmonton in a lot of people's minds from Calgary. So it's a critical week here for the Flames.
I'm still not aboard the Vancouver train, to be honest. I don't know what it is. I think I should be, but I'm not. Sorry, Kyle, what were you going
to
say?
To go with what Brad said earlier there, too, with, like, the standings and how tight it is, right? There's only, what, 25 games left for most teams? 27 maybe for a few? But, like,
I think it's
28, 29.
Yeah, really, okay. But, like, nonetheless, getting to that point, right, where with how tight we are, one team has a little five-game slump or anything, you could basically be going out of the playoffs right there.
Yep, absolutely.
Like, yeah.
Because once you get behind and you fall out, it's hard as hell to get back in. Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing, especially with, like, loser points, and you're going to see, like, you know, even the teams above, you're getting to the point of the season where every team is scrounging for every point. So a lot of times you're going to be rooting for an Eastern Conference team against Vegas, and Vegas is going to get a loser point. And, you know, it's just it's two steps forward, one step back. If you're – it's one step forward, two steps back a lot of the time if you find yourself – five or more points out.
No, John, we talked about it this morning with Vancouver. You know, I know you're not totally on board with the Vancouver thing, and I'm probably a little bit more than I should be, but I think Vancouver's a great team, and I think they're going to win the division. But I highly predict they get ousted in the first round simply because they're winning now in ways you can't win in the postseason. You can't win a 5-4 where you allow 38 shots and sneak one by because your goalie was really hot. You just can't do that in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So this team is going to have to figure out how to button down defensively, or Vancouver is going to go out in five.
Yeah, I'm completely with you, honestly. I'm not convinced Vancouver is going to win the division, but, I mean, as of right now, they're obviously favorites by a very thin margin, and they're hot as hell. So I wouldn't be shocked to see them win the division, but I'm completely with you. I don't think they went around.
They're like Calgary.
I'd love to play them in the first round.
They're like Calgary last year. All show, freaking scoring, and we're offensive wizards, and we're freaking going to win games, and we're going to put up five every night, and we look like world beaters. And then when we get to the playoffs, we have to play a team, and they button down on us, and they get physical on us, and we folded like a tent to Colorado, and that's exactly what's going to happen to Vancouver.
Tampa was another prime example of that last year, too. Like, I think Vancouver's easily the Tampa and Calgary of this year.
I'm with you.
Overachieving in the regular season, and not I don't mean that disrespectfully, but it's just, like, look at how many career years they're having. Like, they were not expected to be here.
We talked about
and
that.
It's just like, whew, I just don't see them. Yeah, you know, in the same sense, they do have really good goaltending, and anyone can make a cup run once you get in.
Yep.
I'll be betting money on whoever is playing the Canucks in the first round, for sure.
The thing is, when we see a goalie take over in the playoffs and go out and take their team on a run, defensively, they'll let teams still holding teams to under 30 shots.
For sure.
The goalie's making the big saves. That's the difference.
Yeah, they're making the timely big saves and the grade A chances. I'm a big guy where it's like, I don't even really care too much about shots. I care about high danger scoring chances, right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing with Vancouver. Not only are they giving up a lot of shots, like, you know, they're not a team that gives up 35 shots, but they're all from the outside. Like, they're giving up some high danger scoring chances, and it's like, how much pressure can you expect Markstrom to hold back?
That's
like,
right.
It's just not going to happen forever. So, anyways, I'm trying to think. There had to be more on the Battle of Alberta that I wanted to talk about. Sorry for being an asshole.
It's funny is when we were getting pounded last night, I was just waiting for some messages, and you didn't send them my way, and I'm like, okay. Well, you gave me a couple early in the game, but a couple drinks.
Early, yeah.
But, you know.
John got too drunk and started battling with fucking.
I'm a sympathetic dude, too. I know what it's like to lose to a rival and have people rub salt in the wound, so I was like, okay, I'm not going to be too bad.
You guys, I believe in the hockey gods, you know, and, like, every time I talk shit about my team, it haunts me. And so I've kind of taken the approach, like last year everybody was like, how come you're not so high on the Flames this year when we were like winning the Western Conference? I'm like, I'm afraid to be. I'm afraid to be. But, you know, like last night when we were just totally getting pumped, I was so angry at my team just on the way I felt like we had some passengers last night. And how do you not get up for a battle of Alberta game? I don't know.
You saw it right at the end of 2019 with the Oilers doing the same thing. And it's there's nothing more frustrating as a fan, because it's like for instance, the Wednesday game when we lost in a shootout, I was happy after that game.
That was a good game, you guys. That was a great game.
Yeah.
And the Oilers came and they had effort, and it was like, hey, what do you have to be mad about? Like, you're not going to win every game.
No.
We got a point out of it.
That's the thing, is that there's nothing more frustrating as a fan than having a rival show up hard to a game and having your team lay an egg. Like, there's nothing more frustrating.
Yeah, it was a frustrating night. You know, I'm looking forward to our fifth battle in, was it April 2nd or 4th or something?
Yeah, like right at the start of April.
You know, I just got a feeling, though, that game, I mean, we'll definitely get on and talk about it prior probably and post, but I don't know, just with where it is in the stand or the where it is in the schedule, I would doubt that it would mean that both of us, I mean, I would doubt that it would be important for both teams. I'm pretty sure it's going to be important for one of us, but probably not both of us. So I would guess that if it's not important for both of us, it'll be a humdrum game. You know what I mean?
I imagine this. So,
because there's not going to be any suspensions, because it's the last game. So both teams are going to be walking on eggshells.
I'd also see us not playing McDavid if we're comfortably in a playoff spot at that point, too.
Imagine if it's one outcome or the other, that it's a Battle of Alberta playoff series. And imagine both Flames and Oilers fans cheering for the one team to win.
Well, I said it earlier today, though. As much as I want a Battle of Alberta, I don't. Because if I could guarantee that we win, then I'm all in. But I'm scared to death of that series, and if the outcome didn't go my way, it would be just devastating.
Oh, man, you're going to talk for the next year. Like,
no, I know.
As much as I want to rip on you for having that take, Brad, I completely agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just being honest.
I really want a Battle of Alberta playoff series, but if the Oilers lose, I am going to be a hermit for like 6 months. I'm like, I'm getting off social media. I'm not talking to any of my Flames fans friends.
I hope we do meet. I mean, yeah, I'm so torn. I go back and forth. I contradict myself. But, I mean, if we met, it would be so fun. But could you imagine how much even more fun it would be if it was in the second round?
Yeah.
And if one of us knocked Van
wild card route,
if we could knock Vancouver out on the way, how great would that be?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'd love to play Vancouver first round.
I know you're all about it.
I don't want to be the first wild card team to do it, right? Like,
yeah.
I want to be higher and have home ice advantage. But
yeah. Although we pounded you in Edmonton and you pounded us in Calgary, so I don't know.
Yeah, and the Oilers, like, their penalty kill's worse at home again, I think, and we had that worst penalty kill of all time at home last year. So
I don't know,
jerseys
or the year before or whatever. Yeah, the orange jerseys or whatever.
Fucking pylon jerseys.
I don't like your jerseys.
I like those dark blues.
You do?
Yeah, love them.
Wow.
Sorry, and just to say, not so much on fans, but in the full kit on the ice, I really love them.
I still think that they should have just a little bit of white, just to highlight the oranges on them.
Yeah, just
a bit of white, minimal white. But it does look better with the full kit, especially when Smith's wearing it with his new pads. They look fucking dirty.
Yeah, I like the dark on dark.
So what do you want the Flames to wear? Which jerseys, Flames jerseys, do you like?
The retro ones? Have they had them as an alternate recently? The horse?
Come on. John, you lost all credibility on my podcast.
I liked it.
I was going to say, I like the ones that are just like the Calgary writing across.
You liked that?
Yeah, I did, honestly.
Kyle and I both have shitty opinions when it comes to
jerseys. Oh, let's not talk about jerseys.
I'm not a fan of the Flames jerseys in general, to be honest with you. I like their old, like, 05 homes where they first got the necktie, the Black Sea and stuff. I thought those were nice jerseys.
Okay, now we're going to be able to agree on this and to end this, and then we can go watch a Super Bowl.
33-0.
On a level of 1 to 10... How bad do you, one being, oh, whatever, let's just shitty or not shitty, the Avalanche jersey for the stadium.
Oh my God!
Worst jersey.
You haven't seen these, John? They're the grossest fucking jersey.
You've never seen it, John?
I'm sure I have. I just don't know which one you're talking.
They're like
about.
A reverse fucking flying V fucking Vancouver jersey.
It looks like they have a now.
Big A that's white that then goes through the elbows.
It's the worst. I mean, it looks like my fourth. It looks like my 4-year old designed them in preschool.
Seriously, yeah.
They're not the Avalanche. Big A. There you go.
Fucking I think they have a napkin hanging from
there. Oh, my God, John.
You like John. Oh, my God.
I mean, I wouldn't buy one.
All right, I'm sticking about 10 more Twitter guys after you tonight.
You would. It looks ridiculous. What are you talking about?
I don't know. Like, I'm looking. Like, okay, the one thing is, like, I see a picture of a fan wearing it, and they look stupid. But I see the one, like, the 2020 Stadium Series promo pick. With, like, McCarr, Landeskog, and Vatanen, I think. And, like, they look kind of... I don't know. I don't know.
Dude, it looks like they have fucking adult bibs around them. Yep. That they're about to go eat a bunch of ribs.
You know what it looks like? It looks like you asked your grandma for a hockey jersey for Christmas, and she couldn't afford it, so she sewed you one. She knit you one.
You know, while we're on the topic of jerseys before we let you go, I'm a big MacKinnon fan. Like, I am probably too. My... like fourth or fifth favorite player in the league. And what were the Avalanche thirds? I don't think they still have them.
The one with the C on
it?
Yeah, the triangle with the C in it?
Yeah. The triangle with the C, those are nice.
Yes, thank you. The triangle with the C. I'm getting a MacKinnon jersey like that when I save up some money. I think those are wicked nice jerseys.
These All-Star ones are freaking atrocious.
I really don't see those like one. Stadium like ones I think those are pretty similar to the ones you guys are hating on, though. Like,
oh my God.
There's differences, obviously, but I don't.
I see the relation to it, but no, not at all.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
To me, what pisses me off the most is that the A goes into the neck. It honestly looks like a fucking bib to me.
It looks like they have a bib on. Looks like they're, yeah, it looks like a bib.
I do
baby Avalanche.
Agree with there where it's like I think if there was like a 2-inch gap from the collar, it would look a lot better. I'll admit that. Okay, I'm starting to see it as I'm seeing more pictures. I got to backtrack. They are fucking hideous.
There's a bright spot. Flames fans, we're done talking about the Battle of Alberta with John. He's done ripping on me, right? Are you done ripping on me?
I'm glad we got the last laugh as far as
it's not last laugh. Gap.
For like 2 months though.
You know what though? The only thing I'm saying to myself is, no matter what happens the rest of the year, you still can't catch us in head-to-head points. So. I can see
that's totally true, but with the loser point, we could still end up being just 1 point we gave you guys.
I know.
But you are right. It could end up being pretty even, which would be.
It's been fun being able to have these games condensed so we could talk and get into it. But now it's going to be like, oh, now we don't see the Oilers until April, so it's going to be like, crap, now we don't.
I miss Brad.
I know.
We've talked to you five times.
This is our fourth time.
And yeah, we're not gonna. We'll have to do another Pacific Roundtable.
We'll do another one. Yeah,
and run that one or something.
Yeah. We're gonna have a lot of conversations before the season's over, so that's good.
And I mean, there's nothing stopping us, especially if we're tight in the standings in like another month or so. There's nothing stopping us from just having a random collaboration.
Hey, I know Flames fans always like talking Flames Oilers, so I think it's something we can do here.
Didn't you say some listeners were like, "Why are you getting the Oilers guys' opinions all the time?"
They did. I did. I had one guy tweet me and go, why do you want to talk to the Oilers guys?
I think it's good.
Because it's Flames Oilers, man.
That's good to get an outside opinion, man. Having on our
show. I love it.
Awesome.
And you get like biases, but from either side, you know, where it's not just like the same, like over and over again. Like, yeah, these are what the Oilers guys think.
I think we're all pretty fair, being in betweeners, though. Like, we'll be biased, but we also will.
And that's the thing. It's like I will respect that in some sense because don't get me wrong. Like, we talked about this briefly about Leafs fans in the roundtable, but man, you got some stupid Flames fans over there. Like,
you know what?
We have stupid Oilers fans.
He takes a big shot at me right before we end this.
I'm not saying not you. Like, I like chatting with you because you're a reasonable Flames fan that tries. Like, you have bias, but you try and look at it objectively, which I think Kyle and I try to as well.
I think we'll end it with.
And
this.
We have stupid Oilers fans too. Like, I'm not saying it's just you guys, but I think I've seen some shit.
I'm gonna say something. I think we'll all three agree, and we can end it on an agreement here. Okay. I think Vancouver fans are way worse than both Edmonton or Calgary fans.
Yeah, because they don't even watch their team when they're losing.
Exactly. Exactly.
There we go. You heard it here first.
Fuck you, Vancouver.
Okay. As always, Brad, it's been a pleasure. We will we'll chat with you at the very furthest away in a couple months.
Sounds great. Looking forward to it, guys.
Inside Edge Hockey News, bringing you inside the game.
Some odds and ends notes from the Flames. Some good, good, good news. Yusuf Valimaki is skating again. Skated twice on his own in the last couple days. No timetable has been set, but he's progressing very well. And if all goes well, from what I'm hearing, he's about 3 to 4 weeks. Could be sooner, but I would say 3 to 4 weeks. Now, where does that fit in? How does that affect the expansion? And do we put him in? Do we put him in down to the AHL? I don't know. He hasn't played a game this year. It's pretty hard to just step into National Hockey League play. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out, but he is a grade A prospect for this team. He's already proven that he can play playoff hockey, probably more than some of our other defensemen can, and I am excited to have him back, that is for sure. Make sure you check out coolhockey.com, your number one source for authentic and customized NHL jerseys. Use promo code THPN and receive 25% off your order. Check out coolhockey.com.
CoolHockey.com. Jerseys online since 99.
All right, listeners. It is time for Harvey's Doghouse. In the last few weeks, I've had a hard time figuring out who fits into Harvey's Doghouse. Well, guess what? This week, not at all. I had about 4 or 5 candidates, 3 solid candidates. But I'm going to settle on one, and that's Noah Hanifin. Wednesday night, he was beat by a defenseman, Benning, for a goal that he should have never been beat on, ever. Saturday night, goal 1 was his fault because of his bad D-zone play. Goal 3, which McDavid scored, he loses the battle in the corner, should have had the puck out, ends up coming back out front, then McDavid gets the puck in the slot. Hanifin does a little stick poke, lay down or kneel down to block the shot, which he doesn't even come close to doing. McDavid scores. You can't play the best hockey player in the world that soft. It's not going to work. Believe me, it's not going to work. He's way too soft on the puck. He's one-handed pokes all the time. It's not acceptable. My favorite tweet I saw all Saturday night, and I'm not even sure who it was. I should have saved it on my phone so I could credit them for this, because it was hilarious. And the tweet said, I hope Dubas went to bed early tonight and isn't seeing the real Hanifin. Huh. Some truth to that one, huh? If he's rumored to go to Toronto, boy, after the way he's played the last couple weeks, I'm okay with it. And that's coming from a guy who is pro-Hanifin. I was actually pumping this guy's tires all last year and in the offseason. Time for the fan question of the week. And the question is, should the Flames keep Buddy Robinson up with the big club? That's a good question, but it's a very difficult one to answer after 3 games, I'll tell you that. We can get a snippet of what we think of Buddy Robinson, but we aren't really going to know until at least 12 games in my mind. I thought he was really good on Tuesday against St. Louis. I really thought he was very effective, that he was okay on Wednesday, and pretty darn good on Saturday. His goal was huge. He had a fight. I like that. I would say right now we keep him, but only if we're going to play him with Monahan and Gaudreau. If you're not going to play him with that, with those two guys, then he does not fit in on this team. He's a big body. He skates well. He'll grind it in the corners. I like him when he's with Monahan and Gaudreau, but only time will tell. I think it's way too early to write him off or stay as a full-time NHL player. Game previews. Tuesday night, we're back at it. And I don't know how all you Flames fans feel, but as much as I love the Battle of Alberta, I'm kind of glad it's going to calm down for a little bit. It has been absolutely nonstop questions for me. Not that I don't love answering questions, but I feel like the only thing I've talked about since January 11th is Calgary-Edmonton. And as much as I love that rivalry and I love it, last night kind of soured me on it because I didn't feel like our team showed up to play. Which to me is unbelievable because I don't know how you don't get all excited and pumped to play a Battle of Alberta game. But neither here nor there, that's done. We had to put it behind us. It's 2 points lost and two critical points because with the way the standings are, Calgary needs to get as many possible points as they can. We've fallen into a wild card spot. Not ideal. And there's a tough schedule coming up ahead. We've got San Jose, Nashville, and Vancouver this week. Vancouver is super hot. Nashville's making a push. San Jose, not so much. But if you look at our schedule and the way things have gone this year, San Jose is ripe for the picking to win this game on Tuesday night because we tend to lose to teams that have no business beating us. So Calgary needs to bear down here in the next 2 days and really think about it and figure out a way of how they're going to get past San Jose. San Jose is currently 22-27-4, 48 points, 6th place in the Pacific Division. There are injuries all over the place. They lost Saturday night 3-0 at home to Tampa Bay. Calgary needs to take advantage of it. Calgary currently is 27-20-6, 60 points, 3rd place in the Pacific Division. Actually, they've fallen to 4th place in the Pacific Division now. Their last game, of course, we've talked about it a million times. 8-3 loss to Edmonton, and I'm tired of talking about it. I'm tired of thinking about that. But this week ahead, 6 points on the board. We need 4 of them to stay in this race. This is one of those teams where, you know, Calgary could go all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals this year. But Calgary could not make the playoffs. Some of our big guys need to get it going. We need to figure out what we're going to do here. It's clutch time now. It's the push for the playoffs. Thanks for listening. Catch us again on Thursday morning for another edition of Flames Unfiltered. Check us out on the Hockey Podcast Network. Also, check us out on flamesunfiltered.com. Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter, at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page, at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter, at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey. Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.